Thank you very much. So to my colleague panelists, excellencies, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the information, for the invitation, and for giving me the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about my country and what we've been able to do and why we think we have made this kind of progress, but more importantly, to also juxtapose what is happening in Ghana across our sub-region. And I've seen my colleague from ECOWAS here as well, so I'm sure that the things that we say will be largely complementary. But before I go into the details of what I'm going to say about Ghana, I'd like to also congratulate the ITC on your 50th anniversary. I think that this is a wonderful organization that has been able to provide a lot of support to countries like mine in improving our trade facilitation environment and offering support to SMEs. And indeed, we have been the beneficiaries of programming support from the ITC over the years. But let me turn to the theme of the role of trade, private sector development, and regional integration in Ghana's economic development. We consider ourselves to be a country on the move. We are lucky to have had, right now, almost 20 years of having had a strong constitutional democracy. We have very tough elections. In those elections, power changes hands by very, very slim margins. And all of our contested space and the debate that we continue to have about our growth and development has allowed us to engage ourselves in a way that we believe has been beneficial to the growth of our economy as a whole, and especially to the growth of the private sector. The growth and deepening of the private sector, we think, has taken off more since our current democratic dispensation. And it just goes to show that stable democratic regimes also help significantly in the promotion of economic development and trade. And there have been a number of policy interventions that initially were brought into place by the government, but over time, what you have seen is that as the private sector has strengthened, they have also been able to be an important part of that discussion. Right now, we have a lot more reform that is driven by the private sector, whereas in the first instance, it was driven more by government. And as a result of which, we see that not only is our economy growing, but our private sector is deepening. First, when you talked about the Ghanaian private sector, you had a number of multinationals and hundreds of small and micro enterprises. And the difference between the multinationals and the small and micro enterprises was very, very wide. You barely even got them to be part of their supply chain. Now we have medium-sized enterprises, Ghanaian enterprises, that have grown over time. And this is the way that we think we have been able to achieve this, and we've seen it transform our economy. In the mid-90s, we decided that we were going to be the gateway to West Africa. And we entered into a development program where we looked at trade facilitation reform in order to make it easier to do business in Ghana and by consequence from Ghana reach the rest of West Africa. And we went on an aggressive private sector investment drive. So we reviewed the establishment of the Ghana Investment Promotion Center. We created the Ghana Free Zones Board. We also went through a package of trade facilitation reforms, and we went after private investors, especially from Europe, which was one of our major investors at the time, to see how they could now help us to diversify our economies. And they took advantage of the framework that was existing at the time, the Lomé 4 Agreement, and then after that, the Cotonou Partnership Agreement. And as a result of that preferential market access, Ghana was an interesting place to do business, especially with the Free Zones scheme, which allowed them, when they had export-oriented businesses, an attractive package of tax reforms that allowed them literally to do business in our country tax-free. When we started having more private sector investment, that also triggered the need for additional reforms. So one of the first things we had to do was also then review our Labor Act, because it became very clear that the Labor Act that we had lived with for the past 30 years before all of these reforms were taking place allowed a certain rigidity and didn't make it attractive for the private sector to come and work in Ghana and created a significant amount of instability. So we reformed the labor law, and that was the next step in a series of steps. Then we began to have major policy reforms, focusing on trade facilitation and the development of the private sector. So we developed our trade policy, our trade sector support program, our private sector development strategy phase one, and all of these were focused on how to make it easier for the private sector to do business in Ghana. And at this stage, a lot of the reforms, as I said, were driven by the fact that we had external investors coming into the country, raising issues with some of the things that we were doing, asking us to do things differently, and as a result of which, the government was at the forefront of implementing these reforms. But as we began to reform the process, as we also began to reform our judiciary, we decided to move away from having, I'm sure you've seen some of these old films where you see the judges in court and they're busy writing every single word of what the witnesses are saying. I mean, it doesn't exactly make it attractive for anybody to have any dispute resolution mechanism taking place in your country. So we also had to go through a process of judicial reform as well to make things faster, to make it easier, to allow for people to see that this was a working state with all the mechanisms that you see in other parts of the world, but present for us as well, and that you could do business in Ghana and not have to be stuck because, for one reason or the other, what was happening was beyond your comprehension and outside of your control. And the emphasis was on bringing certainty, transparency, and predictability into our legal system and into our policy environment so that the private sector would take the decision to invest. When we developed the first private sector development strategy for the medium term 2005 to 2009, what we wanted to do was to achieve sustainable, equitable, and widespread private sector-led growth throughout Ghana to enhance the competitiveness of the private sector through undertaking reforms that would improve our investment climate and, as I mentioned earlier, the cost of doing business. When we started implementing those reforms, we made significant progress on the World Bank's doing business indicators. I mean, I think that our position moved about 20 places just because of a number of the IT-based reforms that we did, which made it more easy and transparent to do business in our country. Then, after we had completed that program, we now have the private sector development strategy phase two. We've also got our industrial policy, our industrial sector support policy, because what we're doing right now is focusing on value addition, beneficiation, and making sure that more of that takes place within Ghana. But for the small and medium enterprise sector, with the assistance of a number of UN agencies, the International Fund for Agricultural Development, IFAD, the ITC, and so on, we also developed programs that focus specifically on bringing our SMEs, our MSMEs, as a matter of fact, into the market economy and taught them the basics of being able to do business, becoming part of larger companies' supply chains, so that even though they were not themselves involved in exports, they were part of a chain that was working towards developing exports. And because of that, we've had a situation where our private sector has expanded and it has deepened. I know I haven't given you too many numbers yet, but I'm about to. So between the period where we started these reforms in 94-95 till perhaps last year, in private sector investment, that does not include the financial services sector, that does not include the oil and gas sector, which has been a major investment area for us, we've had approximately $2 billion of private sector investment, and we've had over 2,000 new projects. But when you see those 2,000 new projects, it's not just 2,000 businesses over a period of 20 years. Think of it in terms of 2,000 businesses that have created other businesses because of the fact that they exist in Ghana. And so you've had cocoa processing take off, which didn't happen before. So we now have four major cocoa processors adding value to cocoa, which is one of our major exports. You've also had new areas. We didn't used to have very much by way of tuna canning before. Now we have the largest tuna fleet in the whole of Africa because we are one of the major exporters of canned tuna to the European Union. And we do something like about 180 million euros No, that's just one company, I beg your pardon. About 260 million euros of canned tuna per year, and the main target is the European market. And so we've been beneficiaries of those arrangements that have allowed us to move forward. And with ECOWAS, we have always seen ourselves as part of our national orientation as being not just Ghana as a country, but part of a larger African and regional framework. And so we have been very interested in making sure that the regional trade facilitation environment works, that it creates the opportunities for us to do trade across our borders. And as a result of that, our economies not only should grow, but we should spread the benefits across our sub-region. And right now, as I speak, we have about 14% of our trade is with the ECOWAS region. Of that, unfortunately, and I say unfortunately because, you know, once oil gets into the equation, then it changes a lot of the dynamic. And we found ourselves in a situation where we are exporting more oil to the West African region than we actually are exporting manufactured products and value-added products, which for me is not perhaps the way we would want to go, but it's the situation as it is today. About 55.3% of our exports to the sub-region is made up of oil. We have about 20.6% being metal, ores, and minerals. 6.2% is manufactured products. 9.4% is agricultural products. And it's also a reflection of the way that our economy has developed as a whole. Because we've put more investment into the private sector, we've put more investment into small and medium enterprises, we have created diversification. For the last 5 years now, agriculture has not been the greatest contributor to GDP. Oil and gas is not the greatest contributor to GDP. On the average, between 45 and now, as at last year, 49% of our GDP is generated from the services sector. And so now we have to look beyond the traditional trade in goods and begin to think of how we are going to be developing trade in services, because it's bringing a whole new dynamic to our economy. We grew at 14% in the year 2010, but that was largely due to First Oil. And so we consider that to be a bit of an anomaly and not the way that our trajectory will go. But still, in spite of the fact that we've had some difficulties in adjusting to our middle income status and going off a lot more development assistance and having to take more responsibility for ourselves, we still have grown at not less than 7.8% per annum, even when we've had difficult periods. And yes, on the average, we do project that we are going to be growing at 8.5% per annum. And for us, we think that the way to continue this growth is to have an open economy. We very much think that trade is a facilitator of prosperity, that we have been able to come thus far because we have not been insular and we are more liberal. We are looking very much forward within the ECOWAS region to concluding an economic partnership agreement with the European Union, because we believe that it's also key to being able to continue to export and be competitive. But more importantly, we're looking to do this in such a way that we become integrated into the global markets. The challenge with Africa is that for the longest time we've been seen as different from the rest of the world. And you talk about what is happening in every other region and then you say, end Africa. The narrative that Africa is rising, Africa is changing, Africa is growing, Africa is diversifying, is not just something that is perhaps the latest fad. It is true. And when you look at the transformation in our economies over time and the things that have happened, you will realize that a lot has been done and a lot of reform has taken place that has been government-led but increasingly is being more private sector-oriented in order to make that change happen. We are open for business. We very much want to engage with the rest of the world, and we thank the ITC for having to help to make it happen. Thank you.